standing together this morning, we'll read our Bible text together and try to bring the message the Lord has laid upon our heart for today. Isn't it good to be saved? Thank God, be in God's house on the Lord's day. No place like God's house on His day. No place like His house at all, especially on the Lord's day, okay? I appreciate our visitor being here this morning. Appreciate you being here. Good singing. Thank God for that. And a good Sunday school hour that we had this morning as well. Looking forward to what God might do for us. We'll listen to the Spirit's voice and let God do in our heart what He wants to do in each of our heart and life today. Okay? Psalm 93 in your Bible. Psalm and 93. A little short psalm, five verses. We're going to read all five verses of that psalm and then try to bring you the thought that I feel like the Lord would have us to bring for you in this hour today. Okay, Psalm number 93, and I begin reading in verse 1 and read all five verses. The Bible said, "The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith He hath girded Himself. The world also established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old, from Thou art from everlasting. Amen. The floods lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever." Now may the Lord add His blessing to that. Let's bow our heads to pray. Ask God's help on the service this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the grace of God and the sure mercies of our Lord. We're thankful, Lord, for the Word of God that is before us today. I pray, Father, that You'd stir up my heart and God, that You'd give me the grace, the power, the unction that's needed this morning to preach the Word of God. I pray You'd work in the hearts of our people. That, Lord, that You'd lift our spirit into a place of praise and worship and adoration of our great God that loved us so, died on Calvary's tree and rose again the third day. I want to thank You, Lord, that You're coming back, that You are Lord of lords and You're King of kings. And we rejoice in that this morning. I pray You have Your divine will and way in every heart. I pray You'll bless those that are away from us, those that are sick, those that are unable to be here. Give them grace, I pray, divine mercy. I pray, Lord, that You'd help Brother Hall this morning, both physically and spiritually and mentally. Give me that which is needed. Lord, make me a blessing that I might be a blessing to God's people. And Father, we'll thank You for the precious souls that come to Christ and for God's people that find help, and we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. All right, in verse number 1, those first three words in that verse is really where I'm going to be taking my text. I'll be preaching from throughout the chapter this morning. But the Bible said there in verse number 1, "The Lord reigneth." What a wonderful thought that is, "the Lord reigneth." And I'm so glad that He does. It took Nebuchadnezzar a trip to the field to realize that. And he stayed there until his hair grew as feathers and his fingernails as the claws of birds. But he finally realized that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth both in heaven and on earth and in the affairs of men. And that's what the psalmist says here, "the Lord reigneth." Now, I want to try to preach on that for a little while this morning, if God would help me. I don't know how it'll turn out, but I'm going to do my best with it. But I want to try to preach on the thought, "the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And He is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. And God does rule, and God does reign contrary to what men may think. God rules and reigns in the affairs of men. Now, if you've noticed, and I want you to keep your Bibles open, if you've noticed there in your Bible, the author of this psalm is unknown. There's not a thing that says anything at all about who wrote this particular little psalm. But I think its subject is clearly evident. It celebrates the majesty of Jehovah as ruler of the universe. And ladies and gentlemen, He is the ruler of the universe. Not just in heaven, but the universe. It says in that verse, the Lord reigneth. And that is, He reigns all that He created. Everything that God created, He reigns over. And it's my understanding that He created all things that are. And so He reigns over all things. He is the creator of the world. And He has been its King from everlasting. A lot of people don't understand that yet today. You and I that are saved by the grace of God, we understand that. But the lost man, the man out there without God, has never been saved by His grace and don't know Him. They have no earthly idea that our Lord has been the King of this earth from everlasting and will be until everlasting. He is the Lord God and He is omnipotent and He reigneth in this life. The world rests upon Him and it is stayed by His might. In fact, the Bible said that the world is held up by the word of His power. He spoke it into existence and told it to stay there. And by the power of God, it does stay there. It's not there. They talk about, I read the other day, they said something about one of those roids, whatever they call them. I don't know if it was an Altoid or what it was. Amen. That they was talking about being 800 and some feet long. They said it was supposed to crash into the earth a couple of years ago, and it didn't. Then they said it was supposed to crash a couple of years now, and it didn't. Now they brought it all the way up to 2032. It's supposed to hit somewhere in the earth. Well, I'm telling you, if it does, it'll be because God lets it land. Amen. I'm not worried about it. God put the stars out into the universe, sprinkled them there, and they'll stay there until God tells them differently. All things are held up by the word of God's power. Even the very air that we breathe. I was talking to somebody the other day and I said, you know, it amazes me how God can feed the multitudes that are in the world. Has it ever occurred to you how much food that it takes to feed the world? Can you imagine how much it takes to feed America in one day? I wonder where it all comes from, and a man has got to conclude that it comes from the hand of Almighty God. When God set this thing in motion, He knew exactly what He was doing. Somebody said, we're going to run out of fuel, not till God's ready for us to. Somebody said, well, we're going to run out of this and that. We're not going to run out of anything until God is ready for us to run out of it. That is absolutely a fact. All the powers of nature obey Him. How lawless they may seem are all of the swelling rages of the sea, like it mentions here, of which these are just a figure of men, they must obey Him. Nature obeys God. Somebody said, Brother Hall, I don't believe that. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I saw a picture that amazed me. It was a picture of that tsunami that came in just the other day. It showed a man in the parking lot, and son, he was on the move getting away from that thing. Somebody said, was that the hand of God? I believe that it was the hand of God. I'm telling you, things of nature that are taking place in the world today are here by the very hand of Almighty God. I read the other night where three earthquakes, and one of them at the magnitude of 8.0, happened in the Pacific Ocean, and they had a tsunami warning out for the west coast of America. And somebody said, Brother Hall, what is going on? I'm just telling you that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And ladies and gentlemen, He reigns in nature, and nature obeys Him. He raises the waves up and He tells them to lay down and they lay at His feet when He says, peace be still. And so all of nature obeys God. I believe God awakens the birds in the morning and tells them it's time to sing. And they begin to sing to the praises of God. He wakes up the animal kingdom and tells them it's time to praise God. That's right. In the spring, He raises up the trees and He raises up the flowers and he raises up nature. And they begin to praise God. Now, I'm going to tell you, He's put man here and man ought to praise God for the very reason that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord, the psalm says, the Lord reigneth. Hallelujah to His wonderful name. and all nature obeys our Lord. It sure is. His majesty and His glory are seen, but not only in controlling the powers of nature. And whatever opposes and exalteth itself against Him, I don't care what it is. There's not a power in heaven. There's not a power on earth. There's not a power under the earth that if it opposes itself against the power of God, that He cannot deal with it and overcome it. Somebody said, what about the power of Satan? He overcome him, didn't he? He put him in his place, and there's coming a day when God will put the devil in his final place in a lake of fire. I'm just telling you, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. I don't care what's going on in the world. The devil doesn't reign, doesn't have control of what's going on in the world around us. It's all in the power and the plan of Almighty God. You can say amen right there. When God set this world in motion, God had a plan for it. He didn't start things to let man finish things. And He didn't start things to let the devil finish things. God started things that God might finish things, and God will finish things when it's time for it to be done. Say amen right there. Hallelujah. That is exactly right. But He also shows that power in the faithfulness of His Word and the holiness of His house. Notice what He said there in verse 5. He said, thy testimonies are very sure, and holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. And so we see that the Lord reigns in that as well. And I want to mention about three or four things in this chapter that I see. And we're going to the house. I want to mention, first of all, the manifestation. What is it that manifests the fact that God reigns? What is it that manifests the fact that God reigns on the earth, not only the earth, but in the universe? I believe it's found in that very first statement. The psalmist exclaimed, "The Lord reigneth." Ladies and gentlemen, that is not an expression of gloom and doom. That is an expression of joy. When the psalmist cried out, "The Lord reigneth," He's not, those words are not words that cause our hearts to droop and stoop. They ought to be words that elevate our heart into great joy and adoration of our God. To know that our God, the Lord God, I'm not talking about the God of the Muslims. I'm not talking about the God of this world. I'm not talking about the God of the liberals. I'm not talking about the God of the Sodomites. I am talking about the God of His people, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And it's not an exclamation of gloom and doom, but it is an expression of great joy that He cried out, "The Lord reigneth." Amen. In fact, that is that's an expression that Israel used to announce the ascent to the throne of a new sovereign. And what He's doing here is announcing to the throne the sovereign Almighty God. Now, that announcement is coming one day when the Lord God omnipotent will truly, in His time, manifest Himself in the affairs of men, and let men know that He reigneth in this world. And I'm going to tell you, what is said right there ought to bring great joy to you and I. Folks, hey, it's not the end of the world. I mean, we live today like there is no joy to be had, like there's no happiness to be had, like there's nothing to live for, that everything is gloom and doom. The devil's got the victory. I mean, he's overrun everything. But I've got news for you. Like the psalmist said, the Lord reigneth. He does reign. He is reigning, and He shall forever reign, not only in heaven, but on earth as well. Hallelujah. And it is because He is a sovereign Almighty God. That is an expression of joy. Notice, if you would please, what the Bible says in the Gospel of John when our Lord makes His triumphant entry into Jerusalem. John in chapter number 12. And look at verse number 12. The Bible said, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they had heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees. Now, this is His ascent into Jerusalem, ladies and gentlemen. You and I know He didn't set up His kingdom at this time, but those Jews thought that He was. They thought it was time for Him to establish David's throne and to rule once again from Jerusalem. And Jesus come into Jerusalem. They took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet Him and cried, Hosanna. I'm going to tell you, when the Bible said they cried, that doesn't say they come in mully grubbing like we are this morning. They saw their king, what they knew was their king. They knew He was king and thought that the kingdom would be then. Now, I'm going to tell you, it brought great jubilation to their heart. Amen. In order to bring great jubilation to our heart, when the Bible said they cried, it does not mean that they just stood out there and clapped their hands and applauded a little bit. The Bible said they cried, Hosanna! Blessed be He that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's right. That is a real expression of joy. And they went on to say, and Jesus, when He had found a young ass, sat thereon and said, as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. And I'm going to tell you, when they saw the fulfillment of that scripture, when they saw the fulfillment of that scripture, they cried out, Hosanna! Blessed be He that cometh in the name of the Lord. Amen. They were saying the same thing the psalmist said. The Lord reigneth. And ladies and gentlemen, it was an expression of their joy to the fact that Christ was making His triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Now I want to ask you this morning. God just laid this on my heart. Has Christ made His triumphant entry into your heart? Has Christ come to where you were when you were low and in sin and lifted you out of the depths of sin and degradation and birthed you into the family of God? If He did, ladies and gentlemen, you too can cry out, the Lord reigneth. Hosanna, blessed is He that cometh in the name of the Lord. You know why? Because He rules and reigns in your life. The Lord reigns in the hearts of those that have been saved by the grace of God. Believe that or not. Amen. That's right. I'm glad when He came into my heart, He booted the devil out. Thank God. Amen. And took up control of my life. That's right. And He rules and reigns and controls in our life. So it is an expression of joy. Now, notice this also. It's not only manifested by an expression of joy, but by the fulfillment of Scripture. There in John chapter number 12, where the Bible says in verse 14, and Jesus, when He had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written. Boy, I'm going to tell you, hey, His reign is manifested by the fulfillment of the Word of God. Now, will you get your eyes up for just a minute? Will you get your eyes and lift them up out of the world for just a minute and look at what's going on around you? Look at what's going on in the world around you. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm going to. I'm telling you right now that men and governments, worldly governments, have the idea that they're running this show. But I'm telling you right now, they're not running the show. I'm telling you who's running this show. One who is taken out a people for himself and setting up a kingdom while the kingdoms of the earth are in their place. And someday the people of that kingdom are going to receive their king coming in glory. Hallelujah. And in order to rejoice our hearts in him. Somebody say amen right there. That's right. Amen. That's right. Government, world governments don't run this thing. Obama's not running it. He couldn't hardly run his family. Now I'm telling you, the fellow over in Iran ain't running it. China's not running it. Russia's not running it. We're worried to death about what's going to happen. People are scared to death. Oh, there's going to be an atomic war. So what? Well, we're going to get blowed up. So what? Well, there's going to be catastrophes. So what? If you can encourage your heart with the fact that the Lord reigneth, whatsoever happens in this world and in your life comes about because Christ let it happen, or else he made it happen, because he reigns, ladies and gentlemen. Therefore, we ought to rejoice regardless of what's going on. Our God that loved us and died for us and rose again is coming back, hallelujah, to rule and reign upon this earth. And in order to rejoice our hearts today. Amen. We're seeing Scripture fulfilled all around us. I'm sure you've heard this read, but I want to read it for you this morning. God being my helper. In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 9, verse number 6, the Bible said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government, here it is, shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace. Oh, I like that. Amen. Not just the increase of his government, but the increase of his government and peace. People today hollering peace, and they're wanting peace. And they give the Nobel Peace Prize to Obama, and I don't know what he's done about making any peace to earn it. Really, I can't see it. Now, I'm not degrading the man. He's our president. But what has he done to bring about peace? They're still killing people. They're still fighting wars over there. Amen. Tell me one thing that he's done to bring about peace. Absolutely nothing. And I'm telling you, there will be no peace till the Prince of Peace comes. Oh, yeah. Hey, things are going to get good. A lot of people are going to be deceived that first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. I want to warn you this morning, don't get too carried away with this thing if things start getting good. First 3.5 years of the tribulation period is going to be good peace and good prosperity. But halfway through it, that fellow's going to drop a bomb. He's going to take peace out of the earth. Turn against Israel, and all devils going to break loose in this world. But there will be no lasting peace until the Prince of Peace sets up his rule and reign in this earth. Amen. And, hey, the Lord does reign, ladies and gentlemen. And of the increase of his government and the peace of his government, there shall be no end, the Bible says. No end. Now stay right with me. It says there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever. Somebody said, Brother Hall, how's that going to be carried out? Just like the Bible says in verse number 7, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. In other words, God's going to do it. God's going to see to it. Now the devil don't like it. He's going to try to stop it. The world don't like it. They think they can stop it. The rulers of this world think they can stop it. But the Bible said, let the heathen rage, ladies and gentlemen. Because I'm telling you, there's coming a day when all mankind will know that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah to His wonderful name. That's right. And friend, every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess. Now, Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I don't care how stiff-necked you are now. I don't care how hard-hearted you are now. I don't care how brave you are now. There's coming a day, friend, when trembling you will fall. If you're lost, trembling you will fall at the feet of the Lord Jesus and confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You won't be so tough then. Your neck will find lubrication enough to bend then. Your knees will find an occasion to bend at that time. I'll guarantee it, that is exactly right. Every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen and amen and amen. And then I want us to notice not only the manifestation of His reign, the expression of joy, the fulfillment of Scriptures, but the response of the worldly. What do the worldly people have to say about this? Well, Luke, in Luke chapter number 19 and verses 38, the Bible says, well, let's look up 37. The Bible said, and when He was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works which they had seen. Wonder why they began to rejoice and praise God. Hallelujah, their King was coming. And they began to rejoice and praise God, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. But notice this, and some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto Him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. In other words, tell them to hush up. Tell them to be quiet. They're making entirely too much noise. That's what some of y'all think when we get to shouting a little bit. That crowd's making too much noise. Why are they making noise about? I'm going to tell you why we're making noise and why we're rejoicing and why we're shouting, ladies and gentlemen. We realize in our heart that we've got a God that rules and reigns. Hallelujah. And He's mine and I'm His. And by the grace of God, I'm heaven bound with a hammer down. Amen. Amen to God. That's right. Them bunch of Pharisees, you tell your disciples, said you tell them to calm down just a little bit. Amen. They're making entirely too much noise. You know what the next verse, and I'll paraphrase it. The Lord said, I'm going to tell you something. If I told my disciples to hold their peace, the very rocks of the earth would cry out. Brother, listen to me carefully. Come on now, listen to Brother Hall. The Lord reigneth. Amen. Amen. He came into Jerusalem. Meek and lowly on an ass's coat, as King of kings and Lord of lords, and His disciples rejoiced over it and got so boisterous that religious crowd said, tell them to be quiet. They're making too much noise. And the Lord said, I'm telling you something. If they shut up, the rocks will cry out. Come on, I don't want no stupid rock doing my shouting. Amen. We don't see some action around here for long. I'm going to carry a pile of rocks in here and dump them up here on the floor. See if they won't holler a little bit.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Just have somebody bring a dump truck load in here and dump y'all and bring one in as you come out and say, I can't shout, let the rock shout for me.
Amen.
I can't praise God anymore. We'll let the rock praise God for me.
Amen.
I can't rejoice anymore. We'll just let the rock rejoice for me. I don't need a rock. Praise God, I'm in the Calvary. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. My name's written down in heaven. Amen. I'm saved by grace. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. Thank God there's power in the blood of the Lamb, ladies and gentlemen. I can rejoice in that. Amen and amen. That's right. Thanks be unto God. Amen. Now, I know what some of you believe. Well, I'll just rejoice in my heart. You better read your Bible. Amen. That's right. Reading some of you can't because you're lost. And it bugs the living daylights out of you. Because you're lost to the goose. Hallelujah. That's right. Now, I want to mention not only the manifestation of His reign, but His majestic glory. Notice what it says there in verse number 1. I've turned back here and find it again. Notice what it says in verse number 1 of our text. In Psalm number 93, the Bible says there, "The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty." He is clothed with majesty. I think of the majesty of God's meekness. Somebody said, "Is that majesty?" Sure it is. Amen. Notice, if I can find it here right quick, notice what Zechariah has got to say. In Zechariah chapter number 9, that's a hard book for me to find. It's next to the last book in the Old Testament. It's hard for me to turn to it. Zechariah chapter number 9, I didn't write all these things down today. I just couldn't. I tried to, but I couldn't. Zechariah 9 and verse 9, notice again. Come on now, stay with me. Notice again what the prophet says. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O preacher." Says rejoice greatly. That don't mean whisper. The last time I heard "rejoice greatly," it meant greatly. Rejoice greatly. Why? The Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. Rejoice greatly because the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, ladies and gentlemen. Amen to God. Thank God. I'm glad He's in control. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy King cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon the colt, the foal of an ass. Now I want to ask you something. Who knew the law and the Word of God back in those days when Christ came into Jerusalem? Out of the Scripture I just read to you in Luke and the Scripture in John. It wasn't them poor peasants. It wasn't them poor people that their eyes had been opened. Their leprosy had been cleansed. Their ears had been opened. Wasn't that crowd? It was those Pharisees. Amen. It was that religious crowd that knew everything the Bible had to say. Amen. They should have known by the Scriptures. Amen. that man on that little old colt, that donkey, was the absolute Son of God. Amen. The Lord of lords and King of kings, that had come to rule and reign upon this earth. But I'm telling you, they couldn't get a hold of it. But I'm going to tell you who did get a hold of it. That little old crowd, ladies and gentlemen, that had been saved by the marvelous grace of God. Hey, all those scholars, all those Bible scholars, those PhDs, LLDs, and all that, long-legged devils and post-hole diggers and all that crowd, they couldn't get a hold of the fact that who this man was. But I'll tell you, that crowd that had their eyes open. I bet old blind Bartimaeus was right out in the crowd. Praise God, a shouting it on. I wouldn't be at all surprised. That little old woman had an issue of blood. Didn't come in there shouting it out. That little old humpback woman said, "I was hunchback and now I'm straight. Praise God. I'm going to keep on shouting." I'm going to tell you, they would not let that religious crowd shut them up for 1 minute. Amen. I'm going to tell you, they were the ones that knew that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. That religious crowd had no earthly idea what was going on. Now I'm going to tell you something. They don't today. All these seminaries, most of them cemeteries. That's right. All these so-called scholars. That tells you that it wasn't a Red Sea, it was a Reed Sea. The water wasn't but 6 inches deep. That's how they got across it. Well, praise God, what a miracle. He drowned Pharaoh and his whole army in 6 inches of water. Yeah. Hallelujah to God. Greater miracle than it was crossing the sea. Somebody say amen right there. Yeah. They don't believe in none of the miracles. They don't believe in they don't believe in the book of Jonah. Amen. There's a fellow got up preaching. Now, somebody's going to get mad at this, but I'm going to tell them anyway. There's a missionary got up preaching where Macedonia Baptist Mission, Brother Larry Raines was there. And that preacher got up, that missionary, and he said, I'm going to tell you all something. He said, that couldn't have been a whale that swallowed Jonah. Said, don't say anywhere in the Bible that it was a whale. Well, it does in Matthew. Amen. Jesus called it a whale that swallowed Jonah. And here was this guy's thought. He said, a whale's throat is not big enough to swallow a human being. Brother Rex, I'm just telling you what he said now. He stood up and said, hey, bud, you was looking at the wrong end of the whale. Amen. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying the PhDs and the LLDs, buddy, they don't understand the Bible. They don't realize who God was. But those of us that have had our eyes open, those of us that have been to Calvary, hallelujah to God, those of us that have bathed in the blood of the Lamb and been to the fountain drawn from the blood of Emmanuel's name, we know what it's all about. Amen to God. He's my God. He is my God. He's my Lord. Amen. My Lord reigns. My God reigns. The Lord God omnipotent who belongs to me reigns. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. And we see that majesty in his meekness. There he is, King of kings and Lord of lords, and he comes riding in on a donkey. If that had been these critters today, you know what they'd have come in? Mercedes Benz and Rolls Royces and Jaguars. But Jesus didn't come in no Mercedes. He came in on a little donkey, a little colt, the foal of an ass. He come riding into Jerusalem on it. Oh, the majestic glory that he had. He created that little donkey. And by the way, One of the epistles says that no man had ever sat on him. He was wild. He is a picture of the sinner. But when Christ sits on him, son, he behaves himself. You better hear what I'm saying. If God ever sits down on you, you'll behave yourself as well. Amen. There'll be no more drunkenness and no more cussing and no more gambling and no more reveling if God ever sits on you. He'll tame you, friend. He'll tame you. Amen. You know him. You know him well. Yes, sir. He's full of majesty, yet he's meek in heart. The majesty of his grace. We see that grace in creation. I'm going to spend time there. But he did create all things. We see that grace in his providence. Oh, thank God for providence. Wasn't for providence of God, I wouldn't be here today. Wasn't for providence of God, you wouldn't be here today. You're not here by mere chance. Somebody said, now, Brother Hall, I heard a fellow the other day, and this burns me. You can label me, call me whatever you want. But I heard a guy say the other day, we're all free will moral agents. Well, if you're depraved, your will is depraved also. Right. Somebody said, then you don't mean God, man ain't got a choice. Oh, yes. Right. Amen. When Christ awakens him, amen. When God enlightens him, amen. He's going to have to say yay or nay. Amen. But I'm telling you, they can't no man get into that man's depraved mind and will. It takes the Holy Ghost of God, ladies and gentlemen. That man is dead in trespasses and sin. Somebody say amen right there. I'm glad God can unlock that door. Woo! Amen. I'm glad God can make His entrance. How do you know He can? Because He's the Lord God, and He's omnipotent, and He reigneth, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
And there's no power can stay His hand.
Amen.
Amen. They said in the Six-Day War with Egypt, said Israel didn't stand a chance. 6 days, and it was over. They said they don't have the power. I want you to listen to me. They said Israel don't have the means to destroy the nuclear capability of Iran. And just a couple of weeks ago, they got permission to put two submarines that had never done it before through the Suez Canal. The Saudis let them bring those submarines through the Suez Canal, and they creeped right out into the waters where they needed to be. And each one of those submarines had 16 nuclear warheads on it. 32. You reckon 32 nuclear warheads is enough to do the business? They're not dumb, folks. Oh, they've got the capability. They're God's people. Now, I'm going to tell you what blesses my heart. I'm just an old dumb Gentile dog. Thank God I got grafted in. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And they're God's people, and we're God's people. And He's going to reign. He does reign, and He will reign. The Lord reigns. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm about to go nuts. His providence. He's majestic, not only in His meekness and His grace, creation, providence, that grace is seen in redemption. Romans 3:24 said, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And then the majesty of His holiness. Look at verse number 5. Thank God that thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Is it warm in here to anybody else out there? Nobody. It is to Sharon. It is to me and everybody else's company. Looks like we're going to suffer, Sharon. He's warm. Looks like we're going to suffer, pal. The majesty of His holiness. Notice what it says. Thy testimonies are very sure. Sure, holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. His house. Holiness becometh. That is it. His holiness adds beauty to His house.
Amen.
Now there's only two I've got to speak of very quickly. Number one, the house of God. What do you think beautifies the house of God? His holiness.
Amen.
Without it, I'm going to tell you what, we're pretty ugly ducklings.
Amen.
But you put holiness on a man or a woman.
Amen.
Oh! Oh, yes, you put holiness in the house. There's another house. That's the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's you and I that He lives in. And holiness thus becometh this house that God lives in our bodies. I'm telling you, holiness will beautify the body of a man. Somebody say amen right there. Thank God, that's right. I remember how I was, old long-haired, ugly, egg-sucking devil. Shaggy, raunchy clothes, little old fuzzy goatee beard on my face. Amen. Playing around in beer joints and pool halls and wouldn't put food on the family's table. I'm telling you, treated my wife like a dog. Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, I was a pretty much of an ugly duckling. Both outwardly and inwardly. Oh, whoo! Now, it's shouting time in glory, son. I'm about to have a running fit upon this mountain. There came a day, hallelujah, when the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, Him that reigneth and rules, hallelujah, passed by where I was, a little old lost boy on my way to hell, dying without God and without hope. And He cried, live, thank God. And I'm telling you, when He cried, live, I came alive in the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, I ain't too pretty today. But I've got some scripture that says I am. Proverbs said the glory of young men is in their strength. But the beauty of old men's in the gray head. Things I'm getting better looking every day. Woo! Amen. Got a lot of good-looking rascals there. Look at Brother Ricky back there. Brother Steve. Boy, Brother Robert got a lot of good, brother. Oh, a lot of good-looking fellas. Brother Jerome is quite beautiful. That's what the Bible says now.
Amen.
That's referring to wisdom and not outward beauty.
Right.
Amen. That's right. The majesty of His holiness. Can you get a hold of this? Let me just say this. He had no sin.
Right.
He knows no evil. He doesn't play cards. He doesn't gamble. He doesn't get drunk. He doesn't listen to country rock music. He doesn't steal. He doesn't commit adultery. He doesn't commit fornication. He don't curse. He don't lie.
Amen.
He don't do any of that. And yet, He died.
Amen.
Being sinless, He died for those that were committed all those things that I just mentioned.
Amen.
Can you get a hold of the majesty of His glory and grace, ladies and gentlemen?
Amen.
That He that was perfect, Lamb of God, died on Calvary in our place. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We should have been crucified, but thank God, like Barabbas, He took our place. Hallelujah. Ought to be in hell, but He took my place. Amen to God. Not one sin did He ever commit. But I'm glad that morning when I cried, there was one that could be touched with a feeling of my infirmities. He had been tempted in all points like as I was and you were, but yet without sin. When you cried that morning and said, "Lord, save me, I'm a sinner." He said, "You know something? I know exactly how you feel. I know your heart. I know what you're going through. I understand what your feeling is. Because I've been right where you are."
Amen.
But there's one problem. You failed and I didn't.
Amen.
And so by one man's disobedience, sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for all have sinned. But by one man's obedience.
Yes.
By one man's obedience, you get a hold of that. Somebody said, "Well, I'm saved because I obey. I'm wonderful. I'm perfect. I don't sin no more." My Bible tells me by one man's obedience shall many be made righteous. Yes, hey, I'm not saved on my obedience. I'm saved by grace through faith. Hallelujah to God. It was His obedience. It's His righteousness. It's His holiness. It's not mine. It's His. But for His righteousness and holiness, I wouldn't mean nothing. It's all His. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. Amen. Amen. I see the majesty of His love. He loves to save sinners.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Then I see His mighty power in verse 1. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith He girded Himself. His mighty power. Notice this strength. It's shown and revealed in the stability of the world. He said the world also is established, that it can not be moved. Do you believe the Bible?
Amen.
Somebody said, "Oh, the world's going to go into helter-kelter and it's going to go out of orbit." It can not be moved.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something. It cannot be changed.
Amen.
By mortal man. Oh, they're trying. Well, somebody said, "I've seen the changes." Oh, not the changes I'm talking about. Well, I've seen a lot of changes. When I was a boy, people used to travel still yet, believe it or not, by horses and buggies. Wagons. Then along come a few old junky automobiles. And I'm going to tell you what, I never got out of Clark and Scott County until I was almost a grown boy. I say this in kindness now. I don't mean anything by this. I never saw a black man until I was a teenager. To me, a big day was going to the store on Friday evenings with Mama and getting a nickel to buy a Coke with. And had another nickel, a bag of peanuts to put in that Coke or that Pepsi. Hell, that was a big day, boys.
Amen.
I've seen a lot of changes, son. People used to, the houses that people used to think, and they were at that time, were great stately homes. They're gone. They built them for a little or nothing, but today people are, there's two sitting up on the hill for me. One of them they want $429,000 for, and the other they want $414,000 for. They're right up there on the hill. But unless the Lord doesn't come back, there's coming a day when they also will be outdated. But what I'm talking about is the world shall not be moved. It's not going to be changed by man in that the fact that it cannot alter God's plans for it. No way will it ever be altered. The Lord reigneth, ladies and gentlemen. He's clothed with majesty. He's clothed with strength and power. Woo! Hallelujah to God. That's right. That is right. World, hey, it's the world, the worldly governments, they may have the idea that they're going to run things, but I'm going to tell you, worldly governments may be shaken today, and they are, by the violence that we now see. Oh, I'm telling you, the world's in a mess, folks. There, I don't know of a country in the world that the government is not in a mess. I'm talking about the Lord reigneth. I'm talking about His government. His system of running things His way.
Right.
Amen. Somebody said, do you believe in a bureaucracy? I believe in a theocracy.
Amen.
The Lord God omnipotent reigneth.
Amen.
I hope you got a hold of that.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you something. The governments of the world is in a chaotic mess.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you something. His is not, His government is not shaken one bit.
Right.
It says, listen what it says. I'll just go on and read this. It says, thy throne in verse 2 is established of old from everlasting. Verse 3, the floods have lifted up. O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Now, hey, what that's talking about is, hey, the waves of the sea, the troubles and the problems and all this are beating against the government of the Lord. They're beating against the rule and the reign of God. But I'm telling you, like the house that was built upon a rock, it will not fall, ladies and gentlemen. See, the waves of the ocean, those waves come in and they slap against a big rock and they're just spilt there. They just run back out. Next one comes in, it slaps against a rock, it runs back out. Slaps against a rock, and it runs back out. That's exactly, that's exactly what's going on with the Lord. The devil runs in a big wave, but he meets a rock that he can't handle. The world brings in a big wave, but it meets a rock that it can't handle. And you know what the blessed thing is, ladies and gentlemen? You and I are standing up on that rock with our arms folded, watching it all take place. Hallelujah to God. Woo! Now, those waves are laying about our feet because we're on that rock. Amen. It shall not be moved, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. He reigneth.
Amen.
He reigneth.
Amen.
Bless His wonderful name.
Yes.
Aren't you glad you're on that rock this morning?
Yes.
On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Praise God. Woo! That's right. Let the heathen rage. Let the governments of the world threaten one another. Let them talk their rhetoric. Let them go to their UN council meetings and let them go to their What do they call them? The major powers that meet. I forget what they call them. The summit, but they got 13 or something world powers that meet and vetoed one.
The G8 or G11.
I don't know, GA, G11, whatever they are. I wouldn't give a flip what they are. G's, B's, D's, or E's. It don't make no difference to me. But I'm telling you what, they've got the idea they can correct things and control things, but they'll never do it. There's coming a day when their own waves, listen to me, their own waves that they have manufactured themselves will stomp against their government and it'll fall. Hallelujah. And when it falls, somebody will step out from nowhere onto something. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah. And God's people will look up and say, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah. Only one thing about it, there won't be no Pharisees around at that time to shut us up.
Amen.
Amen to God.
Amen.
That's right. Thank God. Hallelujah. His mighty power and the stability of the government and the stability of His reign. Those opposing powers, it's like the waves against the sea. Do you know something? Those waves beating against His government, He's calmly assured of His right to reign. He's not up there wringing His hands. A lot of folks got the idea of God's wringing His hands, wondering what He's going to do next. He's not wondering what He's going to do next. He is very calmly assured that He will reign. And I'm going to tell you something else today. He is calmly assured of His power to reign. Who does the Lord fear?
Amen.
Jesus, when He went to heaven, said, all power is given to me where? In heaven and in earth.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, He's not up there wringing His hands. His hair is not turned gray because of worry.
Right.
He doesn't have ulcers. He's not taking Dantax, like I have to take? Huh? What's them others, Leroy? No, he ain't taking nothing. I'm going to tell you what, he doesn't even need a baby aspirin. Why you talking about? I said, why are you preaching this, Brother Hall? To help you! To realize that you're cradled in the hands of one that is mightier than all.
Amen.
That is able to help you and able to bless you and to control everything going on around you and protect you and preserve you unto the kingdom of the Lord that is to come, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
He's able, yes, sir.
Amen.
He's just sitting up there with His arms folded. Not worrying a bit. Now, He has no misgivings as to His authority by which He reigns. No misgivings at all about His authority. He knows He's got the authority.
Yeah.
Now I'm done right here. Then I see also the truth of His testimonies. He said in verse 5, thy testimonies are very sure.
Amen.
Are very sure. Now, somebody said, why did He say that? Well, I think number one, because they're a rebuke to the unbelief of God's own subjects. He's saying in that text, what I'm saying is true. Why would He say that to a lost world? He said that to His people. What He's saying is, He didn't just say, thy testimonies are sure. Very sure. That word very means truly.
Amen.
They're true. What God says, take it to the bank.
Right.
And some of you that are saved but just have a little bit of unbelief, He's giving, what He's doing, He's rebuking you in that unbelief. What? And He knows who you are because you walk around like this.
Amen. Lord, help us now.
What's going to happen? If the economy goes bad, maybe I'll get a stimulus too.
Great.
So what if the economy does go bad? Bless God, I was living off of lentils a long time before the economy come along.
Amen.
Talking about beans.
Amen.
Ain't nothing wrong with a big bowl of soup, beans, and a pone of cornbread and a big onion. No way. You're going to really dock it out, throw in some fried taters with some onions in it. Woo! Hey, God, they're good. Woo! I was raised on it. It's about all we had. Sometimes didn't have that. Everybody's worried about the economy. Folks, let me ask you something. His testimonies are very sure. Did he not say that if he fed the ravens, if he fed the sparrows, that he would surely take care of you and I?
Amen.
Said, for you are worth more than many, many sparrows. And why are we worried?
Amen.
Hey, God, Jesus is going to take care of us.
Amen.
He's going to take care of us. So he said that as a light rebuke to his subjects, his people. And then he said that to encourage his people in their faith. He said, my testimonies are sure. I want to encourage you.
Amen.
Your faith is sure. It's strong. You'll make it. You'll make it. And then he said it. Then he said it. Notice this. As a warning to rebels against his government. He said, what I've just told you, that the Lord's going to reign. He said, that testimony is very sure. To all you rebels out there that doubt it and don't believe it.
Amen.
Take heed. Take warning. For the day is coming.
Amen.
The day is coming. I'm going to tell you something, folks. If I was lost here this morning and lost, when the invitation is given, I'd find my way to an old-fashioned altar by the grace of God.
Amen.
And I'd tell God all about my life and ask Him to be merciful to me and save me a sinner. I really would. And I said, why? Because I'm just telling you what I've been preaching this morning could happen just like that. The first phase of it. Just like that. I'm talking about the catching away.
Amen.
Somebody said, do you believe that? If you don't, you need to get born again.
Amen.
I believe the word. Somebody said the word rapture is not in the Bible. No. But catching away is.
Amen.
Caught up is. Caught up.
Amen.
That'd be something to preach. Someday Jesus will catch up with you. What about it this morning? Are you convinced that He reigns? If you're not, you need to get on the altar.
Amen.
Let God convince your heart that He is reigning in your life. And I'm going to tell you something. He knows what you need. Some of you may be going through some things because of your own volition. He may be letting you go through it because you want to go through it. You may be having a pity party because you want to have a pity party. May not be God's will. But He knows what it takes to bring you out of it. And He knows how long it's going to take. So He might let you stay there a while.
Amen.
Let's stand together.